Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Phemelo Modene. Wow, what a show it's going to be. Please stick around. We have lots coming up on the show today. We're going to be speaking about the expropriation bill. We just need to unpack it properly. I know everybody's talking about it. Some are quite angry. Some want it off the table. But do we really understand what it is? So we'll have some analysis there so that we can really fully comprehend what it's all about. And then we are in a minute going to be going to the DRC. You may already know this, that the BBC has just reported that M23 has taken Goma. We've been watching this story very, very closely. We'll go to the DRC in a short while. Some tension in the city of Johannesburg about what to do with JAG, Johannesburg Art Gallery. So we are told there are some renovations that are currently underway, but the DA and other interested groups are saying, well, wait a minute, why is that happening without our consent? We should all be consulted about what to do there. They're also concerned, of course, quite legitimately so, about the quality of the work that will happen if not monitored. That may also cause more damage to the artwork that is there. And we know, I mean, really, really some important pieces are at the Johannesburg Art Gallery. So we'll try and understand all of that. And then, impact today. Boy, do I have a lovely surprise for you. It's someone who used to work here, right here at Kaya.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
Well, you may be watching and have been watching what's happening in the DRC. Not so long ago, a word came in that M23 has now taken Goma. On the line with us is political analyst at the DRC as we speak, Espoor Ngalukie. Thank you so much. He's a political activist, as I said. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
Well, can I just maybe ask, where exactly currently are you?
I'm in the Goma city, in the North Kivu province, in east parts of DRC.
Yes. And how is the situation right now in Goma?
But for now, the situation looks like calm, mm-hmm. for now, just for an hour ago, because since 1 a.m. today, we had bullets, guns of every quantity, every categories. We didn't even sleep. We didn't even walk. All the day, we had bullets, guns coming from government, army, Wazareno, that they are allies to the Congolese government, South African army, Tanzanian and Malawi military coming, who are here in Congo on the name of SADC. All of them, they were fighting against M23, being supported by Rwanda, the Rwandan army, the Rwandan government. And this is what happened today.
I mean, you say it so confidently that M23, supported by the Rwandan government, is that openly discussed in a DRC? Is that an open secret that the M23 is funded directly by the Rwandan government?
M23, they are funded by Rwandan government. In all reports of experts of UN have mentioned it. Mm. And even Rwandan government have never accepted clearly that they are supporting M23, but all reports, people who are in the street, people who are seeing them. You know, Rwandan government is supporting M23, not only logistically, but even on the human. People who are fighting, most of them are Rwandese. Mm-hmm. And we have some Congolese in M23, like chairpersons of M23, most of them are Congolese. But those who are fighting, those who are armed, who are equipped, most of them, they are Rwandese. And another thing is, another country who is supporting M23 is Uganda. Mm. Uganda is supporting M23 according to the reports of experts of UN who mentioned that Ugandan army is supporting M23 politically and on the plane of administration and some military plane.
So let's maybe unpack the M23. You very briefly spoke about, you know, the fact that many of the members of the M23 are from Rwanda. And of course, yes, some are Congolese. But let's just maybe distill who the M23 group is.
Yes, we have to learn from the story. Because M23 is started not today. The short story is we had Akbel, who started in 1887, and it brings the former president in power, Laurent Désiré Kabila. After Akbel, we had RCD, Rassemblement Congolais pour la Démocratie, Congolese Rassemblement for Democracy. It stopped after. Signature. It happened in Pretoria in 2003, and after RCD, we had CNDP. It started in the same area in 2007. After CNDP, the Congolese government signed some agreement with CNDP. It was in March 1998, the most of that those agreements was we integrate those people who were those military who were in the CNDP in the Congolese army. And after that, M23, it means movement of 23 March. According to that date where the agreement was signed in Goma, 23 March 1999. And now we have M23, who started in 2012. And now it started again in 2021.
And what now was the agreement that was signed in 1999?
The agreement that was signed in 2019, the first thing was to integrate those military who was rebellious in the Congolese army.
Got you.
And another thing was what we call amnesty, to pardon all those people who were in the rebellion. And the third thing was, they should create a political party.
Yes.
Because those who are not military will become politicians.
Yes.
This was the agreement that was signed.
And so then what went wrong?
For those people who are concerned, they said the Congolese government didn't respect all the agreements. And those people said it. In 2012, they started another rebellion. They called it M23. Because for them, the Congolese government didn't respect integrally all the agreements.
Well, is that a fair point? Did the Congolese government not respect the agreement?
For the Congolese government,
yeah.
When Kabila was in power, he said he respected it. But for M23, they said all agreements wasn't respected. And another thing, what we can call the agreement under the table. And Congolese citizens don't know, they doesn't know what is the another agreement under the table.
So how do the Congolese citizens feel about M23 and what's happening in right now in the DRC?
You know, most of us, personally, I was born in war. I'm growing up in war. I've lost many people of my family, many friends with whom we grew up together. And the only thing that we need as Congolese is peace and security and the guarantee of no repetition of this situation. Can you imagine? Congo is bigger than Rwanda. But we have another thing, is bad governance. Congo is not well leaded. This is the root of all those problems. It's the lack of good governance. And the lack of good governance is giving opportunity to all every kind of rebellions to make what they need to do against people, against Congo. And the last thing is what Congolese need. We need to know the reality, the truth. What is wrong for now? What is not known publicly?
What is Rwanda, and you also mentioned Uganda's interest in funding M23?
You know, the North Kivu province is an area where we had many mineral resources. And for those countries working here, controlling this area, it's giving them opportunity to quantum gold, cassiterite, and every mineral, many mineral resources. Because for them, it's an opportunity to get money, to make money, to become rich. And this is another one key. Another thing is, the geopolitically, for them, if the eastern part of Congo is stable, is in security, you know, economically, it's helping the countries. It's helping the economy, the businessmen to make money, because Congo is becoming the market.
Currently, we are told, reports are that M23 has taken hold of Goma. You are saying you're in Goma. What are you seeing in the streets now? You're saying things are slightly calm, but what does that look like?
You know, since the morning, we didn't walk, you know, people who are in the downtown. And I'm near the airport. And since 1 a.m., we didn't open doors. And now, guns looks like they have stopped. And we are hoping that tomorrow we can open doors and see things, what will be, how it will be going. And in other parts of Goma, it was the same reality. People weren't able to move, no schools, no market, nothing that worked today.
Has the government released a statement?
So the Congolese government is giving only promises and speech and meetings and meetings, but no good resolution. You know, the Congolese government launched 5 fronts against M23. The first front was diplomatic. The second is economic front. The third is judiciary front. The fourth is military front. And the fifth front is the communication front. And though all those fronts putting together to fight against M23, for me and for us, they failed because we didn't have peace. We are not in the security. All those fronts failed.
You say tomorrow you're going to have a look at what all of this means. Goma has been taken by M23. Yes, you know, it stopped and they were not really successful after that in 2013. What was that like at the time, and what do you expect to happen going forward?
The difference between when M23 took the control of Goma for the first time, they didn't have any resistance. They came and took immediately Goma, and they had a broadcast on the national TV and radio. But now, today, they had a biggest resistance. Until now, they didn't organize even a meeting. They didn't organize a press conference. They didn't make even a speech on the radio or official radio. Maybe it's because now in Goma we don't have access to water, even the electricity. Who have access to electricity? It's only solar panel or fuel. But people who are using
Spoor? Oh, we've just lost him. He was obviously just telling us now that they don't have electricity. We are told that, electricity was cut off from Friday. They haven't had electricity and water since Friday. And this is Monday now. And, of course, that line, he did warn us that it's going to be choppy and perhaps also not hold. And so we'll try and get hold of him again, Espoor Ngalukiye, who is a political activist, I beg your pardon, from the DRC. He is currently in Goma as we speak, and we are told that M23 rebels have taken control of Goma. That is obviously a developing story. He says they have not been able to leave their homes. They have not been able to open their doors and step out. I was curious, whether he's considering leaving Goma and whether that's possible. And we saw earlier on some networks, throngs of people starting to leave Goma. But as I said, we're going to do our best to keep an eye on the story. I have many more questions, but for now, I think what we've just spoken about will suffice. And tomorrow, maybe we try again.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.